Like magic bullets, antibiotics kill harmful bacteria and allow us to multiply unchecked like, well, mold in a petri dish, I guess. But wait, those magic bullets aren't killing all of those harmful bacteria. Some survive as methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus that quite literally can eat our flesh. This leads one to ask, who or what can stop those superbugs?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 501st edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Geneva who are tuned in as we stream along on the radio page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Jay Cruz on the boards. Hello, Jay.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. We also have producer Carol Stafford on the phones. Hello, Carol.
Hello.
Folks, sometimes we eat, and sometimes we are eaten. Today, we're going to talk about the flesh-eating bacteria called methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, or MRSAs. We, that is, you and I, have manufactured these superbugs through our persistent, pervasive use of antibiotics. Our magic bullets have killed the slow and stupid, but not the fast and smart. As a consequence, we now have flesh-eating superbugs that take up residence in hospitals, prisons, school gyms, and tattoo parlors even, for which there is no magic bullet. This leads one to the question of the day, which is, who or what can stop those superbugs? Here to help us find an answer, we have Ronald Goossens, David Hodges, and Christopher Smith from Phage International. We'll start with you, Ronald. Welcome to the Food Chain.
Glad to be here.
You're the president of Phage International, so you can tell us, what on earth is a phage?
A phage is actually a virus, and it is something that has existed in nature for a long, long time. They've been the natural enemies of bacteria for over 3 billion years.
Mm-hmm. And David, let's go to you. What on earth is Phage International? David Hodges?
Phage International is, in effect, an evangelist for phage therapy, which has been part of civilization for 70 years from the Republic of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Phage International's mission is to evangelize this therapy around the world. And we want to thank you very much for giving us an opportunity to get here today to do just that.
Okay, good. And Christopher Smith, we always ask our guests who pays their way so that the audience knows where the biases lie. So you guys are evangelists, so obviously there's a bias here. So who pays the way for Phage International? How do you make your way in the world?
How are we funded, in other words?
Yeah, where's the money?
We're privately
funded.
What was
the Deep Throat said?
Follow
the money.
We're privately funded.
Privately funded?
Yes, by... There's a... Two MDs actually are funding us and another party.
So you have people who are actually backing you, and you have a business going, and this business is in the business of phage therapy.
Yes.
Good. Okay, fair enough. Folks, in agriculture, there are two ways to kill pests. One way is to spread poison around and kill them, and the other way is to bring in a predator like ladybug. So, well, I'd like to start right there. And Ronald, tell us about how bacterial pests are managed in medicine. What's the difference between the way we do things in agriculture and the way we do things in medicine? Like, do we use pesticides in medicine? We do, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, most antibiotics, in fact, mm-hmm. are fairly toxic substances, and the whole trick of finding good antibiotics is to find something that is very toxic to bacteria and just not toxic enough to us so that we survive the antibiotics and the bacteria get killed.
David, you got a comment there?
Well, I think you're leading to the larger question here as to how do we wed a conversation about agriculture, mm-hmm. antibiotics.
Well, you know, this is the food chain. It's what's eating what radio. Like I said, sometimes we eat, sometimes we are eaten. And today we're talking about a bacteria that eats us and how do we fight that bacteria.
Yeah, I think that...
You know, traditionally, here in the United States, we've used pesticides, which are antibiotics, right? That's what we've done, but is there another way?
Well, yes, there is another way, but the commercial farming interests in the United States, large-scale mm-hmm. corporate farming, is looking for the greatest amount of output for the least amount of input. And when you start looking for the least cost of doing that, you're starting to use pesticides on the crops. You're starting to use antibiotics mm-hmm. with the animal proteins that we grow. And in so doing, we are, in effect, manufacturing or partially manufacturing a problem.
So, yes, let's go back to this analogy about agriculture. We're talking about the two ways of killing pests. And one way is to use poisons or pesticides. But what if I have aphids on my rose bush and I don't want to use pesticides in my yard, so I bring in some ladybugs? Is that not what phage therapy is all about?
Yeah, I think so.
Ronald?
What you do is you bring something in that kills the aphids in the mm-hmm. case of a garden, and ladybugs work great as long as there are aphids.
Right.
And then as soon as the aphids are all gone,
so are the
ladybugs go off to greener pastures, and if a little bit later aphids come back, you've got to apply some new ladybugs.
Ladybugs.
And bacteriophages, to a large degree, work the same way in the human body mm-hmm. when they fight bacteria.
Christopher Smith, you're the one kind of responsible for finding this technology. So take us back to how you discovered this technology and, I guess, how you managed to bring it here to the United States, because it isn't here.
Right.
I mean, you seem to be the pioneers of this of bacterial phage therapy here in the United States. So how on earth did you discover this?
I was in the Republic of Georgia, there with my wife for an adoption. Mm-hmm. And the child that we adopted became ill with a strep infection. I didn't realize at the time, but she was treated with bacteriophages by one of the local pediatricians. I discovered bacteria.
So instead of giving her an antibiotic, right. they gave her some phages.
Yes, all Georgian children are treated when they're born and during their childhood with bacteriophages. They do use antibiotics in Georgia, but there are some clinics that will only use bacteriophage exclusively for treating bacterial infections.
So your daughter was treated with phage therapy, yes. and you didn't even know it. You
I
thought somebody gave her some antibiotics and sent her home, and that's that, right?
Right, but I did discover, I read an article in the U.S. Embassy while we were there doing some of the paperwork for the adoption. It was written by a group called the American Chamber of Commerce. They're throughout the Caucasus region the world, and they're there to promote American interests, business interests. There was an article about an American who had been to Republic of Georgia for treatment for an MRSA infection in a diabetic ulcer, and he would have otherwise received an amputation. He came to Georgia. They cured his infection. He then left. He went home.
He went home walking on two legs.
On both legs. I brought this article back to a friend of mine who he's now retired. He's a professor at University of San Francisco, and he and I started reading. We read this article. We found the names of the scientists who were mentioned in the article in Georgia, and we started going to microbiology conferences. We wanted to check out and make sure that this was a legitimate technology, because we saw a business opportunity there.
Sure, you saw a business opportunity because here's something they're doing in the Republic of Georgia. In the former Soviet Union, they're not doing it here. It works over there. We're having this trouble over here. here's a great opportunity. I guess so. So what we're talking about essentially then is a brand new technology that's 70 years old.
Right. Yes.
Why hasn't it been here before? Why are we just discovering this technology here in the United States?
It actually has been here. It was here in the night. I think it was 30s. Available in the U.S. in the 30s and 40s. There are a number of case histories that you can find in certain libraries that show the use of phage.
I'm going to pick that up when we come back. What about it out there? Who or what do you think will stop the flesh-eating superbugs that now inhabit our hospitals, prisons, schools, gyms, and tattoo parlors? As you know, the Food Chain is media that talks with you, not at you. And we have some people here who are bringing a brand new technology to us that's 70 years old. And we're curious to know whether you think what they're telling us is a possibility, or do you think it's something that's way out there? Pick up your phone and join us today. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080, phage therapy and superbugs right back. Do stay tuned. Welcome back out there. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson, your host for the day. We're talking about magic bullets and superbugs. The magic bullets being our antibiotics, and superbugs being the bugs that are no longer vulnerable to our magic bullets. And the bugs are now called something like methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, or MRSAs, or just superbugs, right? And the question is, what are we going to do about them when our antibiotics no longer work? And they are no longer working in a lot of instances. These MRSAs are turning up in all kinds of familiar places. They're turning up in our prisons, in our hospitals, in our school gyms, in our tattoo parlors. And what are we going to do when we catch them? How are we going to manage that? And we have some people here today who are introducing us, as it were, to a brand new technology that's 70 years old, or at least it's been practiced for 70 years in the Soviet Union, called phage therapy. Christopher Smith was over there adopting a daughter, and his daughter came down with a staph infection, and Chris took her to the hospital. They treated her with phage therapy. He did not know it at the time, but she was healed. Away they went, and you probably thought it was penicillin or something like that, right, Chris?
Yes, they wouldn't tell us what it was. Actually, I think they were afraid that we would
freak out,
be a little bit upset about it. But they did tell me the second trip that I went there to investigate this business that my own daughter had been treated with phages.
Huh. And so there is this therapy where instead of fighting these bacteria with poisons like antibiotics, we're treating them by sending predator viruses after those specific bacteria that are infecting us. And my question right now is, why on earth we haven't been working with this technology while it's been going on? It's been going on in Russia for the past 70 years, but we've ignored it here. So let's go to Ronald Goossens, who is the president and CEO of Phage International. Ron, why haven't we been working with this stuff here?
So as Chris said, in the 1930s, Eli Lilly actually sold bacteriophages here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Just a minute. And it was interesting because my wife Marlene was telling me about being at the local hardware store today, and she said, you know what? They've got a whole zoo of beneficial insects that they're selling at the hardware store today. So if you have mites on the rose bushes, you can go get ladybugs for them, and so on and so on and so forth. So what you're telling us is that Eli Lilly was doing the same thing with medicine or with bacterial phages, 70 years ago?
Yeah, 1930s. That's right. But then came penicillin all around. And penicillin was this magic bullet. And it was very easy for the doctors. Because when a mother comes into your office with a sick child, you don't have to tell the mother that she needs to wait for 3 days for you to culture the bacteria so that you can find out what is the right bacteriophage to fight this. You just say, let me help you. You prescribe penicillin, she picks it up at the pharmacy, and guess what? The next day already the child is starting to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that blanket
action. That's the magic bullet, right?
It was the blanket action that it always worked. You didn't have to characterize it. That made it very attractive from a medical point of view. It was instant gratification.
David, there seems to be a problem with our term magic bullet, right?
Yeah, I think it's more appropriate to say instead of a magic bullet, it's carpet bombing.
It's a magic carpet bombing. Why?
Well, the antibiotic modality treatment plan is to kill all of the bacteria. And it kills the good and the bad. And we liken phage therapy more to perhaps a guided missile, where it, once we identify specifically, or once the phage therapy center in Georgia identifies the specific bacteria strain and the phage which is sensitive to that bacteria strain, then it is individualized to that specific patient and that specific bacteria which phage you use. And therefore, the treatment is personalized.
Well, to me, it sounds like an amazing technology, but I still don't understand why it has not been practiced here in the United States, given the popularity of these technologies like organic agriculture and all of this. Why wouldn't we be looking at something like this long before today? I mean,
I think it's a reasonable question, and it's one which all of us asked ourselves right at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It would make sense that large pharmaceutical companies would identify this as a reasonable business
right.
to get into, to isolate the phages against the various and sundry bacteria, and then build a business around that. Well, you have the entire regulatory process of the Food and Drug Administration
right.
that has to deal with how do we approve something which is evolving to chase a specific bacteria. So you have a difficult time in this regulatory process, which is wrapped around approval of something that you can control specifically and do tests on specifically, and that... Let's suffice it to say that the regulatory process
is not set up for this.
Is not set up for bacteriophage.
Okay. Bacteria change all the time. They mutate very, very quickly, very rapidly. And I'm wondering if our usage of pesticide, I mean, here I am using this metaphor again. Our usage of antibiotics has not created these superbugs. Our antibiotics kill the slow and the dumb, and the fast and the smart get away and create more fast and smart. And is that what creates these superbugs, these MRSAs, these resistant bacteria, Chris?
I think that they create themselves through evolutionary processes. That
right.
The antibiotics tend to select the ones that are resistant to the antibiotics. It's kind of a paradox the more you use them, the stronger the bacteria becomes. So I think yes, it is a result of use in both agriculture and using it therapeutically on humans.
And, you know, during a break or before the program, we were talking about the extent to which we use antibiotics, and I talked about them being persistent and pervasive, but few people understand just exactly how pervasive they are, right?
Well, antibiotics, from what I've read, apparently they're used in production of almost all food, primarily meat. Nearly all commercial meat antibiotics are used as a growth enhancer.
All factory farmed animals have to have some kind of antibiotics to keep them from.
Also in the packaging, and I believe that antibiotics are also sprayed on some vegetables as well. So yes, when you get the meat at the supermarket, the normal bacteria are gone, and all you have are resistant superbugs in your food.
Ooh, and we're talking, Ronald, we're going to take you back to, we're talking about how these antibiotics are like carpet bombing, how they destroy everything, and how phage therapy is like using a cruise missile, or for those of us who are watching the recent wars on television, you know, we see a target from real high, and then we see the crosshairs fix on it, and then all of a sudden, booey, it's gone. That's what you're talking about, phage therapy, right?
Yes, and it really is.
Well, did you bring some phages in so I can see them? What do they look like? What is phage therapy? I mean, what?
Phages, as an end product right now, it's just a small vial, mm-hmm. and it's liquid in there. It's topped off with nitrogen so that it has a longer shelf time. And it's just a liquid. It's water, basically, with phages in it. Just like there are hundreds of millions of phages in every ounce of water in every river in the U.S., in our seas, everywhere. It is the most pervasive form of life in the world.
Okay, so how does one round up the right phage and corral them and get them into that little vial? This is kind of like ranching, isn't it?
Well, the interesting thing is that the way that phages work is they enter the bacterium and multiply themselves.
I think we're going to have to take a break. But this is such a significant part of the story that I really want to go through it piece by piece. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson here, coming to you via the medium of News Talk Radio. Today we're talking about phage therapy, which is a new way of attacking antibiotics. With us today, we have Dr. Ronald Goossens, who's the president and CEO of Phage International. We have David Hodges, VP, and Chris Smith, also a VP. And you folks are working with with the scientists and with the farmers of phages, I guess you might say, in Tbilisi, in the Republic of Georgia. So the question we want to ask today is, who or what are we going to use to control the superbugs that are infecting us? Do stay tuned. Right back. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Like magic bullets, antibiotics kill harmful bacteria and allow us to multiply unchecked like mold in a petri dish. But wait, those magic bullets aren't killing all of the harmful bacteria. Some survive as methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus that quite literally eat our flesh. This leads one to ask, who or what can stop those superbugs? And today we have some people who are bringing a brand new technology that's 70 years old. I guess it's even older than, it's as old as the earth when it gets right down to it. Because what we're talking about is using predatory viruses to attack harmful bacteria. And so we're talking with Ronald Goossens, President and CEO of Phage International, David Hodges, and Christopher Smith, also Vice President of Phage International. And what I want to know is, how on earth does one go about harnessing these phages and using them? How on earth do you go about farming or ranching phages? Let's start with you, David, or Ronald. We're talking about viruses. We're talking about things that are so small you can't even see them, can you?
That's correct. They are very, very difficult to detect. To give you a good answer to that question, let me first talk about the basic mechanism.
Okay.
When a bacteriophage attacks a bacterium, it enters into the bacterium, uses the normal cell metabolism of the bacterium to multiply itself. And when there are a number of copies of the virus inside the bacterium, it excretes an enzyme that blows up the cell wall, the bacterium dies, and now I have more bacteriophage.
Invasion of the body snatchers.
Right. So the basic way of finding a good, effective bacteriophage is just to take basically some water from a river or from the environment that may have the right bacteriophage in it, expose it to the bacterium, and the bacteriophage that is most effective at killing the bacterium will multiply fastest, and it will automatically start to occur in larger and larger quantities. And then basically all you need to do is isolate that most effective bacteriophage, repeat that process, and that's exactly what they have done in Georgia for the past 70 years. And by now, they have a library of literally thousands of the most effective bacteriophages that they've found.
So you're not in a laboratory, you know, manufacturing these things. This is not something that you could even own. This is something that you're just collecting, as it were, from nature.
That's right. In a certain way, you could argue that we've got the largest biotech lab in the world, and it's called the Earth.
Christopher?
Yes. You wanted to know about how they're...
Yes. How do you go after a... Your daughter had a staph infection. How do you know which bacteriophage to use for each specific bacteria that's running amok?
Generally, when you're treating a patient, you have to know what the species of a bacteria is that mm-hmm. you're treating, and the people in the laboratory will go to their collection of phages. They have collections of phages for staph, for strep, a number of different strains of bacteria, and they test to see if the bacteria is sensitive to the bacteriophage, so they can go through the collection to find the ones that are sensitive.
And then you just mix and match then, right?
You can mix and match. There's also a commercial cocktail which contains five phages for treating five species of bacteria. I think it's strep, staph, proteus, E. coli, and pseudomonas are the commercial cocktail. So there are phages to treat those bacteria in the cocktail.
David?
Yeah, the process is pretty straightforward. Phage Therapy Center in Tbilisi, Georgia, is having its patients send samples of their particular bacterial infection to the lab. The lab identifies the bacteria strain, then selects the phage which is sensitive to the bacteria strain, produces the phage specific for that patient. The patient travels to Tbilisi and is treated at the Phage Therapy Center in Tbilisi.
Let's give an example of phage therapy and what it's like. I mean, take us through the process, Ron.
Let me tell it in the form of a story of one of our patients.
Good.
Late last year. A female, she had struggled with chronic sinusitis for about 25 years, had been receiving antibiotics throughout that whole period.
She'd been taking antibiotics for 25 years?
Yes.
And once again, and taking antibiotics is much like taking carpet bombing, right? You're killing everything.
Right, so she had suffered from weight loss because she wasn't holding the nutrients properly, and she had some mild form of liver damage as a consequence. Overall, her immune system was depressed from taking antibiotics for such a long time. She had, from this chronic sinusitis, she had developed persistent migraines. She was in really, really bad shape. She consulted here in the U.S. with the best possible doctors, traveled to the Mayo Clinic.
I mean, if she's been on,
result was,
yeah, if she's been on antibiotics for 25 years,
you must have asked around and asked, hey,
yeah,
is there anything better, right?
Right.
And there was nothing for her. Mm-hmm. So in the end, she decided to travel to Tbilisi.
Well, how did she find out about phage therapy? I mean,
in most cases, people become desperate, and in these days, when you're desperate, you go to the web and you type in alternative treatment or bacterial infection, and hopefully you find a Phage Therapy Center or Phage International.
And there you go. And there's a question on the board. Can you spell phage?
Yes. P-H-A-G-E.
P-H-A-G-E. Also,
it comes from the old Greek, and it means to eat.
To eat.
Appropriate for this show.
Mm-hmm. But
it's something, a bacteriophage is something that eats bacteria.
And what happened? So she discovered this whole thing about phage therapy, and all she has to do is go to Tbilisi, Georgia. She has to fly across the ocean, go to Russia, go to Georgia, go to the town of Tbilisi. My God, that's putting it in, right?
That's daunting.
That's daunting stuff. So she went there, what happened?
We had received samples from her beforehand, mm-hmm. so we had already matched that for aphasias.
So you knew what kind of bacteria that was?
We knew what to do, and we started rinsing out her sinuses, and rather than normal sinus rinse, this is a sinus rinse that has bacteriophage in it.
And those bacteriophages, those viruses that you sprayed in her nose, went in there and attacked the bacteria that have been resistant to 25 years worth of antibiotics.
That's right.
So did she walk away okay?
She was there for 3 weeks being treated by the Phage Therapy Center, and that's now 5-6 months ago, and she's still clean.
Wow. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking about phage therapy, which is a different way of doing things. Usually we go after the bacteria that are plaguing us and use antibiotics, which, as the gentleman here today say, is kind of like carpet bombing. Antibiotics kill everything. In phage therapy, we send in a predator virus that goes after specific bacteria. Got any questions? Pick up your phone and join us. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back with Phage International and a brand new technology that's 70 years old.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Hey, welcome back. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking phage therapy with the people from Phage Therapy International, Ronald Goossens, David Hodges, Chris Smith, and you. We're going to go to the phones right now and pick up a caller who has a question about his particular super bug. Welcome to The Food Chain.
Thank you.
What's your name, please?
Larry.
All right, Larry. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I've been to the VA clinic a couple of times and gotten throat swatches for a throat culture.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a superbug, Larry?
Yes.
Which is to say you have an infection that you can't get rid of, right?
Yes, like pharyngitis I've had for about a year and a half, going on 2 years.
Wow.
And the throat cultures came out negative. So I'm wondering if those are just deficient tests that Orthodox medicine uses, or how else could I, there's still hope of maybe getting a sample of the bug I have.
And one of you gentlemen want to take that one? They're all pointing at each other.
Well, one of the things that often happens in Western medicine is because antibiotics used to work so well, mm-hmm. we start with prescribing antibiotics. And then when they don't work, then we try to find what is really wrong. And we try to culture something. By that point in time, we've killed 99% of the infection. It's a lot harder to get a positive test. And you basically have to get off antibiotics and to make it worse so that you get enough of the bacteria there that you can culture them.
Well, as you may know, in the States here, they don't even prescribe antibiotics unless they can detect or diagnose a bug. So I've never been treated, unfortunately.
So you've not been taking antibiotics?
No, I go in there looking like death warmed over, and but if they can't find something on a throat culture, they just don't treat you. They uh-huh. just leave you to waste away, you know.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call, Larry.
Can I have the website again once more?
Sure. What's the website?
www.phagetherapycenter.com.
And you spell phage?
P-H-A-G-E.
Thanks for the call, Larry. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. There you go. So why can't people like Larry go to Kansas City for phage therapy instead of having to go all the way to Tbilisi, Georgia?
The basic problem is regulatory approval. Mm-hmm. This is not an approved therapy here in the U.S. We have contacted the FDA, but getting approval is a lengthy process.
Well, if Eli Lilly was selling phages 70 years ago, why can't you sell phages today?
The regulatory processes that the FDA uses have become a lot stricter. Their requirements on clinical testing, et cetera, are much more stringent. These days, any therapy that is based on a virus requires complete gene sequencing of what you're doing. They want to make sure that when you get that treatment today or you get it in 6 months from now, that the clinical test results are still applicable. So they want to make sure that it's exactly the same virus in 6 months from now and in 2 years from now that was used today.
What's wrong with that?
Well, what's wrong with that is that the bacteria change all the time. So the very thing that the scientists in Georgia think is the strength of this treatment, that the virus changes as the bacterium changes, is what scares the hell out of the FDA, that they are dealing with a substance that changes. So how can you approve that?
So we really have two different ways of seeing the world here, don't we? The FDA says that if I'm going to approve of something that you're doing, what I approve has to be the same today, tomorrow, and in the future, because if it changes, then you have to come in for a new regulatory approval process. And what phage therapy looks at is an ever-changing bacterial landscape and an ever-changing virus landscape that are always in competition each other.
That's right.
And if you get approval for one virus, it probably won't be effective down the road because the bacteria will change, just like the viruses are always changing. So change is the name of the game in phage therapy, whereas in conventional medical wisdom, stability and the sameness is the only thing that count, right?
That's right. And therefore, while we work with the FDA, we don't think that we're going to get this approved anytime soon in the U.S.
Now, the phages in Tbilisi have to go through testing and approval in the Republic of Georgia. And a lot of their testing has to do with sterility to make sure that the phages are safe for human consumption.
Right.
And that happens as a matter of course. That regulatory approval is used to dealing with phages. So there are a number of countries around the world who are experiencing huge infection problems in their wound care clinics, in diabetic foot treatment.
In hospitals.
In sinusitis. There's a whole host of problems that various countries are dealing with. And it's, in effect, an epidemic proportions. There's serious, serious problems. And so these governments are in the process, their medical regulatory approval process is recognizing that perhaps the approvals in the former Soviet countries may in fact be adequate for using these phages in their countries. And this is where we're at now.
Okay, folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about Stalin's cure, I guess. Is that what they call it, Stalin's cure? He's the one that kept it going when everybody else let it go, right?
He's given that...
He's given credit for that,
yes,
at least.
Indeed.
Okay, 624-2665, 831-479-1080, right back. Do stay tuned. Hey, welcome back. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking phage therapy, and we only have a few minutes left, but we have a question from Bruce. Bruce, fire away, and welcome to The Food Chain, by the way.
Hi, thanks a lot. So I understand that these viruses are specific to certain bacteria. That leads to two questions. One, if the bacteria mutates, do you have to have a new virus? And two, it seems viruses are so small and simple that you wouldn't think there'd be that many combinations of molecules so that you could have a virus specific to all these different kinds of bacteria.
Good questions. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go. Ronald?
As far as your Second question is concerned. Let me take that first. Bacteriophages are about 1,000 to 10,000 times more complex viruses than, say, a flu virus. So you are actually talking about, while it's still a lot simpler than a bacterium, about already a very darn complicated mechanism. Huh. Yeah, so that's why they are so specific. Mm-hmm. Your first question, you're right. When the bacterium changes, the virus changes. But the viruses mutate typically 10,000 times faster than the bacteria. So the bacterium has a really hard time getting away from the viruses. They've been at this for the past 3 billion years, and as bacteria have mutated, the viruses have continued to mutate with them.
What about us? Will we be able to mutate to the point where we can actually have phage therapy here in the United States, or are we always going to have to fly to Tbilisi, Georgia to be treated with phage therapy?
Well, our vision really was initially to bring phage therapy to the United States and to all of the medical clinics in the country. The reality is that's simply going to take many, many years. Our mission now is really to bring phage therapy as close to Western patients as we possibly can. And so we are opening phage therapy centers around the world and going through the various regulatory processes where this can happen.
So you're picking easy spots. Who doesn't believe you? Who listens to this story of phage therapy and says, oh, this is a bunch of hooey?
Well, I think that it's a pretty natural reaction. I think in Western medicine, we are continually bombarded by messages that make us feel very comfortable with our pharmaceutical solutions to medical problems.
That aren't working as well as they used to.
And that comes not as a societal realization, but as a realization as a personal problem. There are people out there who are individually discovering that an antibiotic solution is not working for them. And so it's person by person by mm-hmm. personal experience that you're running into this problem. You discover that the promise of antibiotics is no longer working in your personal situation. And therefore, you had a person call and a few minutes ago who brought to mind that they had a real serious infection, that the testing of this proved negative, therefore there was no solution for them. Well, the testing mechanism that they used in the labs wasn't working.
And perhaps phage therapy will someday come to the United States. I want to thank Ron Goosens, David Hodges, and Chris Smith of Phage International for joining us today. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Remember, if you didn't get a chance to ask your question, you can always log them on at the comment page at metrofarm.com. Now, see you all next week for more What's Eating What Radio right here on The Food Chain.